باب قول الله تعالى قل هو القادر. The chapter regarding the statement of Allah, قل هو القادر. Say that he is القادر, the one with ability, the all capable. Say that he is القادر, the one with ability, the all capable. So this chapter is going to talk about this particular aspect that Allah is Al-Qadir. He is the mighty, the majestic, the all-capable, all-controlling of every affair. That will be the gist of the chapter and the ahadith which follow in this chapter. So the first one then, Sheikh Ahmed.
رحمه الله حدثني إبراهيم بن المنذر قال حدثنا معن بن عيسى قال حدثني عبد الرحمن بن أبي الموالي قال سمعت محمد بن المنكدر يحدث عبد الله بن الحسن يقول أخبرني جابر بن عبد الله السلمي قال كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يعلم أصحابه الاستخارة في الأمور كلها كما يعلم السورة من القرآن يقول إذا هم أحدكم بالأمر فليركع ركعتين من غير الفريضة ثم ليقول اللهم إني أستخيرك بعلمك وأستقدرك بقدرتك وأسألك من فضلك فإنك تقدر ولا أقدر وتعلم ولا أعلم وأنت علام الغيوب اللهم فإن كنت تعلم هذا الأمر ثم تسميه بعينه خيرا لي في عاجل أمري وآجله قال أو في ديني ومعاشي وعاقبة أمري فقدره لي ويسره لي ثم بارك لي فيه اللهم وإن كنت تعلم أنه شر لي في ديني ومعاشي وعاقبة أمري أو قال في عاجل أمري وآجله فاصرفني عنه وقدر لي الخير حيث كان ثم ردني به.
Who else? Anybody new want to read who hasn't read before? In that case, Khidr, raise your voice loud.
بقدرتك وأسألك من فضلك إنك تقدر ولا أقدر وتعلم ولا أعلم وأنت علم الغيوب اللهم فإن كنت تعلم هذا الأمر ثم تسميه بعينه خيرا لي في عاجله أمري وعاجله قال أو في دينه ومعاشي وعاقبة أمري فقدره لي ويسره لي ثم بارك لي فيه اللهم فإن كنت تعلم أنه شر لي في ديني ومعاشي وعاقبة أمري أو قال في عاجل أمري وعاجله فاصفر لي عنه واقدر لي خيرا حيث كان ثم ردني به.
So we have this hadith today, which is basically the hadith or the dua that you would read when? Who recognizes that dua? Istikhara. When you pray the prayer of al-istikhara, this is the dua that you read within it or after it. So in this narration then, Al-Imam al-Bukhari mentions, قال حدثني إبراهيم ابن المنذر الحزامي المدني صدوق تكلم فيه أحمد لأجل القرآن. Then قال حدثنا معا ابن عيسى القزار المدني ثقة ثبت. قال حدثني عبد الرحمن ابن أبي الموالي صدوق ربما أخطأ. قال سمعت محمد ابن المنكدر التيمي المدني ثقة فاضل يحدث عبد الله ابن الحسن. عبد الله ابن الحسن is who? عبد الله ابن الحسن ابن الحسن ابن علي ابن أبي طالب المدني ثقة جليل. And he narrates from جابر ابن عبد الله السلمي المدني, who is the companion, and his father was a companion. That is the chain. قال كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. He said that the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يعلم أصحابه الاستخارة في الأمور كلها. That he used to teach his companions the istikhara, seeking guidance in all of their affairs. كما يعلم السورة من القرآن. He used to teach them about this istikhara just like he used to teach them a surah from the Quran. That indicates the importance of it. He used to teach them this istikhara just like he used to teach them a surah from the Quran. So what did he used to teach them? What is that dua of istikhara? يقول إذا هم أحدكم بالأمر. When one of you finds yourself faced with an important affair, when you find yourself faced with an important affair, فليركع ركعتين من غير الفريضة. Then pray a two raka'a prayer, not a fard one, a supererogatory two raka'a prayer. Pray a two raka'a prayer, ثم ليقول. Then say, and this is the dua then of istikhara, اللهم إني أستخيرك بعلمك. That, O Allah, I seek your guidance by your knowledge. Within your knowledge, the knowledge that encompasses everything and every affair, I seek guidance from you. وأستقدرك بقدرتك. And I seek from your all-knowing ability and power. You're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for guidance from His knowledge that encompasses everything, and for ability from the ability that Allah has over everything. وَأَسْأَلُكَ مِنْ فَضْلِكَ. And I ask you from your virtue. فَإِنَّكَ تَقْدِرُ وَلَا أَقْدِرُ. For indeed you are able and I am not. وَتَعْلَمُ وَلَا أَعْلَمُ. And you know everything and I do not. وَأَنْتَ عَلَّامُ الْغُيُوبِ. And you are the all-knowledgeable of everything, the hidden, the unseen. You are all-knowledgeable over all of it. اللَّهُمَّ فَإِنْ كُنْتَ تَعْلَمُ هَذَا الْأَمْرِ. Oh Allah, you know. If you know that this affair, and then you mention the affair, whatever your affair is, that you are making istikhara on. Oh Allah, if you know that this affair is khayran li, is something good for me, في عاجل أمري وآجله, in my current affairs and future affairs. Or it mentions, he said, in my religion and in my life as a whole and in my future. If you know this is something good for me, not meaning if you know, like do you know, but if you know, meaning if it is decreed and this is something good for me, in the decree it will be something good for me. And of course Allah knows, it's not a case of if you know, meaning if you know. Of course Allah knows, but this is a case of you're asking, is it something good or not? So if you know that this is something good, in your knowledge you know that this is something good for me, فَقْدُرْهُ لِي, then decree it for me. وَيَسِّرْهُ لِي, and make it easy for me. ثُمَّ بَارِكْ لِي فِيهِ, then put barakah in it for me. Putting barakah into something, meaning increasing it in goodness. That is what barakah is. Barakah is increasing something in goodness. So put barakah in it for me. Increase it in goodness for me. And then, Allahumma wa in kunta ta'lamu annahu sharrun li fi dini wa ma'ashi wa aqibati amri. But Allah, if you know that this is something bad for me in my religion, in my life, in my future, in my current or future affairs, fasrifni anhu, then take me away from it. Take me away from this affair. وَقَدُرْ لِيَ الْخَيْرَ حَيْثُ كَانَ, and instead decree the good for me wherever it is. ثُمَّ رَدِّنِي بِهِ, and make me content with that. If this is something not good for me in my current or future affairs, in my religious, my worldly affairs, then separate me away from it. Take me away from it and take me to goodness and make me happy and content with that alternative, with that goodness. So this is the dua of al-istikhara. In this dua, and the purpose of having it here in this chapter in the Kitab al-Tawheed of al-Imam al-Bukhari, is because the dua obviously contains several from the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Several names of Allah are mentioned in this dua. Al-Qadir, Al-Qadir, Al-Muqtadir, Lakin Al-Qadir, Na'am. So these names are all mentioned within this dua. All of these names of Allah, they revolve around the same meaning. They all revolve around the meaning of that ability, Allah's power and ability over all things. The Shaykh, he mentions how some of the names are mentioned independently, some of them openly, some of them restricted. But the point being, all of these names are indicating the might and the power and the all ability, capability, all-encompassing capability of Allah over all affairs. And that's why in the Quran it mentions that Allah is ala kulli shay'in qadir, that Allah is all capable upon every affair. Allah is all capable upon every affair. In another ayah, وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُعْجِزَهُ مِنْ شَيْءٍ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَلَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. There is nothing that can deter, that can take away from the ability of Allah in the heavens and the earth. There is nothing that can take away from that power and ability, all-encompassing capability of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the heavens and in the earth. Why? إِنَّهُ كَانَ عَلِيمًا قَدِيرًا. Allah is the all-knowledgeable of everything. He is the all-capable over everything. And if that is the case, then there is nothing in the heavens and the earth that could possibly weaken or take away from the ability of Allah. Allah is all-knowledgeable over everything. all powerful, all capable over everything. Then it mentions that the ability of Allah, that is a constant over everything. Allah is constantly in that ability over all of the creation. It's not like one of those things Allah has the ability upon creation when He wishes. Rather, that is something constant. Allah is always all capable over creation. There is never a moment Allah is not capable over creation. So Allah is always and constantly all capable and powerful over the creation. The Shaykh mentions a narration or something that is narrated, something which is mentioned. A narration regarding Shaytan. He says, يُذْكَرْ أَنَّ جُنُودَ الشَّيْطَانِ قَالُ لَهُ. It is mentioned that the army of Shaytan, the Shayateen, the devils, they said to Shaytan, نراك تفرح إذا مات العالم أكثر مما تفرح إذا مات العابد. It is mentioned that the army of Shaytan say to Shaytan, the Shaytan, the Shayateen, they all say to the Shaytan, they say to him, we see you that you become more happy when an alim, a scholar, dies than just somebody who is an abid, a serious and heavy worshipper of Allah, a serious and obedient worshipper of Allah, pious, obedient man. We see you become more happy when a scholar dies rather than someone who is constantly obedient in the worship of Allah, a strong worshipper. That's what they said to him. لِأَنَّ الْعَالِمْ أَشَدُّ عَلَى الشَّيْطَانِ مِنَ الْعَابِدِ. Why does Shaytan become happier at an alim, a person of knowledge dying, rather than just a serious, pious worshipper, obedient to Allah, always worshipping? Because the alim is more severe upon the Shaytan. How so? Shaytan replies to them, talking about himself, but speaking in the third person. He says, إِنَّهُ يَفْرَحُ بِمَوْتِ عَالِمٍ فقال عن نفسه إنه يفرح بموت عالم أكثر مما يفرح بموت ألف عابد. Shaytan says, indeed he, referring to himself, indeed he is happier at the death of a single scholar, a single alim, more than the death of 1,000 worshippers. More than the death of 1,000 devout worshippers of Allah. وقال, then he said, سأختبر العالم والعابد. He said, I'm going to examine. I'll examine, test for you, a scholar compared to a devout, obedient worshipper. A devout, obedient worshipper of Allah, but he's not really a scholar or knowledgeable. He's devout, he's pious, and he's a serious worshipper of Allah though. Shaytan said, I'll test the two of them. فَأَرْسَلَ جُنُودَهُ إِلَى الْعَابِدِ. So he sent an army of his, he sent the shayateen to the devout and pious worshipper. فَقَالُوا لَهُ. So the shayateen went to this devout and pious, but generally miskeen worshipper. They said to him, هَلْ يَقْدِرُ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ أَنْ يَجْعَلَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ فِي جَوْفِ بَيْضَةٍ. They said to him, Is Allah able to make all of the heavens and the earth, take all of the heavens and the earth and put them inside of an egg? They went and said to him, the shayateen said to him, whispered to him, can Allah get all of this universe, the heavens and the earth, and put it inside of an egg? Can Allah do that? This devout, firm worshipper of Allah, but miskeen, ignorant, doesn't know much knowledge-wise, he says, upon his natural instinct of response, قَالَ يَنْفَعْ. He said, no, that isn't anything. That's not something useful. That's not something of any benefit. Allah is not able to do that. Why would that occur? Put all of the earth, the heavens, everything into an egg? That is not something suitable, useful. Allah cannot do that. That is not something I'm going to say Allah can do. Why would Allah do that? That is not something useful. Allah can't do that. فَرَجَعَ الْجُنُودُ إِلَى زَعِيمِهِمْ. So then that army of shayateen came back to their leader. And they said that he says Allah isn't able to do that. Put all of the heavens and the earth into an egg. They said to the leader, the shaytan, he says Allah isn't able to do that. So the shaytan says to them, or rather, it is then said, إِذَنْ نَفَى قُدْرَةَ اللَّهِ. That person has now denied or rejected the all-powering ability and capability of Allah. He has rejected the ability of Allah in saying that no, Allah can't do that. Allah wouldn't do that, can't do that, put all of the heavens and the earth into an egg. He has rejected the ability of Allah in that answer upon his ignorance. Then أَرْسَلَهُمْ إِلَى الْعَالِمِ. The shaytan sent those shayateen to the alim, to the scholar. And they said the same to him. هَلْ يَقْدِرُ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ أَنْ يَجْعَلَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ فِي جَوْفِ بَيْضَةِ. Is Allah able to put all of the heavens and the earth inside of an egg? قال, the alim, the scholar said, of course. Yes. Of course. Yes. قَالُوا كَيْفَ ذَلِكَ. So the shayateen said to him, how? What do you mean? How? You're saying yes? Allah can put all of the heavens and the earth into an egg? You're saying yes? What? How? So then the alim replied to them with the ayah from the Quran, إِنَّمَا أَمْرُهُ إِذَا أَرَادَ شَيْئًا أَنْ يَقُولَ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. The alim replied to them and said, indeed, the affair of Allah is such that if Allah wants anything, wills anything, then He simply says, be, and it is. Whatever Allah wills, He simply says, be, kun, and it is. That is what Allah has told us in the Quran. فَإِذَا أَمَرَ اللَّهُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ أَن تَكُونَ فِي الْبَيْضَةِ صَارَتْ. So if Allah commanded the heavens and the earth to become inside of an egg, then He could do so. It would become the case. That is what would occur. إِمَّا أَن تَصْغُرَ السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ وَإِمَّا أَن تَكْبُرُ الْبَيْضَةِ. Either the heavens and the earth would be shrunk to fit inside of the egg, or the egg would be expanded to fit all of the heavens and the earth. Regardless, the point being, Allah is all capable. And if Allah desired to do that, then it can be done. Be, and it is. إِذَا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ ذَلِكَ قَالَ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. So if Allah wanted that, He would say, be, and it is. فَالْحَاصِلِ. So the point of that, أَنَّ الْقُدْرَةَ تَتَعَلَّقُ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ. The ability of Allah is connected in a widespread manner to everything. The ability of Allah is upon everything. إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. Indeed, Allah is all capable, powerful, has the ability upon everything. Kulli shay. So then, this particular narration mentions those three names of Allah that indicate the power, the ability of Allah. أن من أسماء الله تعالى القدير المقتدر القادر. All of these are names of Allah سبحانه وتعالى لكنها مقيدة فتكون من أوصاف الفعل ثم إن القدرة لا تتعلق بالمشيئة. So this ability of Allah is not something restricted to His will. Rather, it is a constant ability of Allah upon everything. In the dua then, you say, أَسْتَقْدِرُكَ بِقُدْرَتِكَ, that I seek from your all-encompassing ability. I seek from your all-encompassing ability over all of the affairs. I am asking you, recognizing and knowing that you are the one who has that all-encompassing power and ability over all of the affairs. And this is a dua, this dua of al-istikhara is the dua that the Prophet ﷺ used to teach the companions in all of their affairs. Whatever the affair was that was difficult upon them, whatever the affair was that was confusing to them, something they faced of seriousness, then this was the dua that the Prophet ﷺ used to teach them, just like he used to teach them a surah from the Quran. So he told them, pray 2 raka'at, not a fard prayer, but a nafal prayer, 2 raka'at. And then when you pray the 2 raka'at of the nafal, then after that make this dua, that, O Allah, I seek from your all-encompassing knowledge. I seek from your knowledge, knowing what the better of the two affairs for me is. And I ask you from your ability, your all-encompassing power and ability, and I ask you from your virtue and your barakah. And you are the one who has the ability and I don't have the ability. You are the one who knows and I am not the one who knows. You are the one who has knowledge of the unseen. You are the one who has all of that all-encompassing knowledge. So if you know that this particular matter, this particular affair is good for me, in my current and future affairs, in my worldly and other affairs, then allow that to occur for me. And if you know that it is not of the benefit to me, then take it away from me and allow something better to come to me and for me to be content and happy and satisfied with that which is better for me. When a person makes the istikhara, then how do you know afterwards? What are the signs afterwards? How do you know afterwards? What are the signs afterwards? You've made istikhara upon a particular affair. After you've made that istikhara, then what are the indicators to let you know that one of the two affairs from what you were confused about is better for you, or the affair you are asking about is good to proceed upon or not? What are the indicators afterwards? Everybody's going to say, you have a dream. You have a dream and you see exactly what you were going to do. Direct inspiration. It is not the case. It is not the case. It may be the case. It may be the case. But it is not the default. Everybody thinks you make istikhara, you go to sleep, and then you have the revelation come to you. It isn't like that. And a person should not consider it to be like that. Rather, there are signs and there are indicators that would allow you to understand that something is the correct thing or the good thing to traverse upon, or that it is not. The Shaykh says, firstly, اطمئنانه لأحد الأمرين. Imagine now it was over two affairs. You were making istikhara over one of two affairs. You're confused and not sure which of the two to do, and you made istikhara to Allah regarding these two affairs, where or what to do. Afterwards, one of the indicators can be that your heart naturally, as they say, the gut feeling, you get your natural feeling on one of them. You become drawn and pulled to one of them. You just have the feeling that this is the one from the two that you were confused about. That natural pull and feeling and that natural settlement of your heart towards one of them is an indicator. That is a sign, and it is an indicator that you are naturally settling with the idea of one of them. You are naturally settling on one of the options. You're being pulled to one of the options. Your feeling is on that one. That is an indicator. That is an indicator of your istikhara to take you to that way. The dream, number two, it is possible. It is possible that you may see something in a dream that indicates to you something. It is possible that may occur, that you may see something, and it doesn't have to be direct revelation, somebody coming to you in your dream and saying, do this. But you may see something in your dream that indicates to you that this is better or this is not better. Some indicators in your dream. That is possible. Another indicator is that you make istikhara upon a particular matter. Do I do it? Do I not? You make your istikhara upon it. And then afterwards, maybe you hear something from somebody, a comment that gives you an indicator. You're making istikhara whether to buy a car or not. You're making istikhara whether to buy a particular car or not. So then you make your istikhara and you're thinking about it. Shall I buy this car? Shall I not buy it? Next day, one of your friends comes and he's got the same type of car. He's got the same one. He says, I can't believe what happened to the car. The engine just went on the motorway just out of the blue. The wheels fell off. The steering wheel fell off. Now, coincidence. You were thinking about this car. You made istikhara. All of a sudden, next day it is decreed. Your friend comes and starts telling you about the calamity that occurred with the exact same car he bought. This could be interpreted as an indicator. Could be interpreted as something you've heard now indicating to you maybe it is not a good idea to go for that car. Speech, that's what the Shaykh says. Maybe you come across something, you hear something from someone which gives you an indicator, maybe not a good idea, or yes, maybe a good idea. Next day, you after the istikhara, you come along and three of your friends, they say, we've all bought the car. We've all bought it as well. MashaAllah, you think to yourself, this is a good sign. It's something which is encouraging and you go do it. So you may hear something, a comment or something, which highlights or indicates to you what to do. Another way, another indicator is the ease of acquiring that thing. So maybe you make istikhara to buy a particular car. And this car is all the way down in London. And you're thinking to yourself, how am I going to get there? I've got no one to give me a lift as well, all these problems. You make an istikhara anyway about the car and it's all the way down in London. Next day, one of your friends rings you. He says, you know what? By coincidence, I need to go and pick something up from London. I'm going today. You think to yourself, this is a sign. I had no way of getting to London. I was completely stuck. Look out of the blue after the istikhara. My friend's going to the embassy, which is 10 minutes from the dealership where I was thinking of getting this car. That's a sign. The ease of getting to the item. The ease of acquiring it. Your path to that item has been made easy. That is a sign also. That is a sign also regarding it. So these are different types of things. And the opposite would be true. So now imagine you make istikhara for a car that you want to buy in London. You've bought your tickets for the train. You made your istikhara you're going to go for it. Next day you go, the train is cancelled. Train is cancelled. So then you think, I need to get the car, it's a good one. You book Uber. The guy comes, he comes in the taxi, you get 5 minutes out, 5 minutes out from Manchester onto the motorway, his car breaks down. Then you ring one of your friends, he comes and picks you up, 5 minutes onto the motorway, his petrol runs out. All of these things are happening now are signs that maybe, you know what, shouldn't be going to London to pick up this car. Signs, that's what it is. You have indicators telling you or making it easier or difficult for you. So that was now an indicator of difficulty towards this thing. An indicator, your train cancelled, your Uber taxi breaking down, all these things happening are indicators making it difficult for you to get to the item. So these types of things may occur after a person makes an istikhara, indicating to him what should be done and what not should be done. The Shaykh says, can you make istikhara on religious affairs? Normally people are going to make istikhara on worldly things or issues linked to that type of thing. A new car, a new this, a new house, maybe marriage, all of these types of affairs you make istikhara on. But religious affairs, like the Shaykh gives an example, a person is thinking about Hajj. A religious affair, straight religious affair. Thinking about Hajj. He's got the money, he's got the health, he's got everything. It's all set. But he's thinking, shall I go this year or not? I'll have to close my business, I'll have to do this, I'll have to do that. Shall I do it or not? He can do it. He's got everything set. Money, health, everything. Even his business, everything. He could sort it out if he wanted. So now he's thinking about this. Do you make istikhara over an affair like that or not? No. Why not? Exactly. Those types of religious affairs, there is no istikhara in them. You have the ability to go to Hajj, then you must go to Hajj. It's not a case of, I'll make istikhara, shall I go, shall I not? You have the ability to go, you have the wealth and everything. It is an obligation upon you to go. It is not a case of making istikhara, shall I go or not? You must go. Go take care of your affairs with your business and whatever else. Arrange it and go. So here the Shaykh says on these issues, you don't make an istikhara. لا بد أن يفعل. You got to do it. Shaykh gives another example. He says, Dhuhr time comes and a person thinks to himself, shall I pray today or not? Let me make istikhara. Shall I pray Dhuhr or not? لو أراد أن يصلي الظهر مثلا فلا يستخير فيه. You don't make istikhara on that. Shall I pray Dhuhr or not? وإذا شك في حكم شرعي معين فهذا لا يستخير فيه فهذا يرجع إلى كتاب السنة الذي يحصل بهما العلم. What if a person is stuck on a particular Islamic issue? He's heard this and he's heard that and he doesn't know what the ruling is. Can you make istikhara then? Oh Allah, what is the ruling? Tell me where to go. It is not allowed. That is not what you make istikhara on. That is what you hear the people always saying. Some of these people who talk about the inspirational stories, they say, I asked God to just show me the light. And what am I supposed to do? Where am I to go? Show me the light, what I have to do. It isn't like that. Here with the Qur'an and the Sunnah, it's there. It's there. The Qur'an and the Sunnah is there. You return back to the scholars, you return back to the knowledge, and you do it. It's not a case of, is it haram, is it halal? I don't know. Let me just make istikhara. Allah, what is it? Halal, haram? And then afterwards you go start doing something? It isn't like that. With knowledge, the knowledge is there. فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ Ask the people of knowledge if you do not know. Return to the people of knowledge. The knowledge is all there. That is not a case of going and making istikhara. Is it allowed? Is it not? That is a case of going and asking and striving and learning and finding out what the ruling on a particular matter is. So the purpose of that narration was to highlight the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the all capable of all of the affairs. And this dua of al-istikhara, you make it in those affairs that you're not sure about, the affairs that confuse you and you don't know how to proceed. But the point of that too is, when you make istikhara, it's not just about reading that dua and not even having a clue what it means. You want the impact of the istikhara, then the impact of it will come when you understand that dua. You understand what you're saying. You understand what it means that Allah is the all-capable. You understand that you're calling upon Allah, the Almighty, the All-Powerful, the one who knows everything, has knowledge of everything, who is all-capable upon everything. You are asking Allah upon that basis of understanding. That is how you make your istikhara, with that absolute certainty and trust and dependence and reliance in Allah, knowing that Allah is the all-capable and all-knowledgeable of everything. Allah knows what you do not know, what is good for you and what is not. And that's why in the Quran it mentions the ayat, عَسَىٰ أَن تُحِبُّوا شَيْئًا أَن تُحِبُّوا شَيْئًا وَهُوَ, that you may love something and actually it is something not good for you. And you may not want something, but it is actually good for you. وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Allah is the one who knows and you do not know. And that's why the scholars, when they talk about past events that have occurred, past events that have occurred to you, then the hadith says, never say, low, if only I had done this, then it would have been okay, this would have happened and that would have happened. If only I'd done that instead, then it would have been okay. If only, that phrase and that mentality opens up the door to shaitan, as the hadith says. Don't say, the Prophet said, La taqul. Don't say, Law anni fa'altu kada wa kada lakana kada wa kada. Because law taftahu amal shaitan. Don't say, if only I'd done this and if only I'd done that, then it would have been like this and it would have been like that. You start doing that and all you've done is opened up the door to the shaitan to overtake your mind. If only is of no benefit to you whatsoever. What has occurred now. There is no benefit to if only, because even your thoughts of if only are pure conjecture only. You now say, you crashed your car, you say, if only I'd taken the other route that I normally take. If only I'd just gone on that other main road I normally go on. If only I hadn't taken the shortcut. If only I'd just gone on the normal way, I wouldn't have crashed my car. Wrong. How do you know that? Maybe on that day, if you had gone on your normal route, you would have got squashed by an 18-wheeler. How do you know? How do you know that if only I'd done something, it would have been better? If only you'd done something, that may have ended up even worse. How do you know? Nobody ever thinks about that though. Because in their mentality, they want to try and put a scenario together that is always the better scenario of the past. That if only I'd done this, then definitely would have been like this or that. Definitely this wouldn't have happened and that wouldn't have happened. How do you know if you'd done that, something even worse may have happened? How do you know? So it is not upon a person to open up the door of shaitan with if only. So in this dua, you ask Allah, recognizing your inability, recognizing your lack of knowledge and your ignorance, asking Allah from His ability and His all knowledge to direct you to that which is better for you. Then after that, we move on to the next narration. The chapter, قول الله تعالى, باب مقلب القلوب, وقول الله تعالى, ونقلب أفئدتهم وأبصارهم. The chapter regarding how Allah turns and changes the hearts of the people. And the statement of Allah, we change and turn their hearts and their eyesights. This characteristic, مقلب القلوب, the one who changes and turns the hearts of the people, it is a description that can only be given to Allah. You are not the one who changes or turns the hearts of the people. He, Allah alone, is the one who is able and turns and changes the hearts of the people. وَالْمُرَادُ بِتَقْلِيبِ الْقُلُوبِ لَيْسَ التَّقْلِيبِ الْحِسِّ. And the meaning of turning the hearts of the people is not physically turning it. These ayat and these narrations are not talking about physically having a person's heart turned, but it means turning the heart of the person in terms of his understanding, recognition, his position, turning the heart of a person on an affair. That's why, in fact, in Arabic, the word qalb, heart, is called qalb. Because qalb in Arabic means something which turns, something which turns, changes, flips around. And that is the nature of the heart of a person. The heart of a person turns and changes. One day upon one thing, another day upon another thing. One day with one emotion, another day with another emotion. The hearts of the people change and turn. The Sheikh says that there is a story when a Bedouin was once asked, بِمَا عَرَفْتَ رَبَّكَ. How do you know of your Lord? How do you know of your Lord that there is Allah? How do you know? What sign do you have? قَالْ بِصَرْفِ الْهِمَمْ. He said, by the constant changing, you could say, of attitudes. The constant changing of your attitude to things. The constant changing of your priorities and your thoughts. يعني أن الله هو الذي يصرف الهم. دائما الإنسان يهم بالشيء ويجزم به فإذا به تنصرف همته إلى شيء آخر بدون سبب ظاهر. Always it is the nature of humans. One day you have your mind set on something. Then the next day all of a sudden your mind has changed 180 degrees and is set on something else. One day your mind is set. You want the iPhone. Next day, after a small conversation with somebody, all of a sudden, now it's Samsung. Mind is set on one thing, all of a sudden it changes to another. The Bedouin said, the fact that our hearts change in this way indicates to me that of our Lord. Because Allah, He is the one who changes the hearts of the people in this way. And that's why you hear, مَنْ يُضْلِلِ اللَّهُ فَلَا هَادِيَ لَهُ. Whomsoever Allah misguides, then there is no one to guide. وَمَنْ يَهْدِ اللَّهُ فَهُوَ الْمُهْتَدِ. And whomsoever Allah guides, then he is the guided. And that's why when it comes to the issue of guidance, when it comes to the issue of guidance in the Quran, Allah said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتَ. You cannot guide who you love. It's not up to you to guide who you love. And many of the scholars say that was revealed regarding Abu Talib, the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who was upon kufr and died upon kufr. When he was dying, of course, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made every effort for him to accept. Yet he did not, and he died upon kufr. So the ayah was revealed. إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتَ. You can't guide whom you love. Guidance isn't in your control. You cannot change the hearts of the people. But in the other ayah, it does mention that you guide to the straight path. وَإِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي إِلَى الصِّرَاطِ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. You guide to the straight path. So how do we combine the two of them? We can guide to the straight path by showing people what is right, what is wrong, what is sunnah, what is bid'ah, what is tawheed, what is shirk. You can show people. But will the heart of a person accept or not? That is not up to you. You can go to a crowd of 1 million people and give them da'wah. Tell them everything about Islam and Tawheed there is. How many of them will their hearts accept what you said? A handful, a percentage of them. You have not been able to change their hearts. You give them the guidance, the general guidance. It is Allah who changes the heart of a person to accept or not. And that's why it says here then, نُقَلِّبُ أَفْئِدَتَهُمْ وَأَبْصَارَهُمْ, that we change their hearts and their eyesights, and their eyesights can be perceptions. This is also the similar meaning of the narration where the Prophet ﷺ mentioned, وَإِنَّ الْعَبْدَ لَيَعْمَلُ بِعَمَلِ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ حَتَّى مَا يَكُونُ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَهُ إِلَّا ذِرَاعٌ فَيَسْبِقُ عَلَيْهِ الْكِتَابُ فَيَعْمَلُ بِعَمَلِ أَهْلِ النَّارِ فَيَدْخُلُهَا. That a person, he does the actions of piety, the worship and obedience, such that he would enter paradise and there is barely anything left between him and entering paradise other than an arm span. But then, right at the final moment, after a life of his heart being upon guidance, something occurs. The book overcomes him, the decree in him, of him. Something occurs and his heart changes. فَيَعْمَلُ بِأَهْلِ النَّارِ بِأَعْمَلِ أَهْلِ النَّارِ فَيَدْخُلُهَا. And he ends up doing some shirk, the people of hellfire, what they would do to enter hellfire, and he ends up in the hellfire. That's why we mentioned that narration, or that statement which is mentioned. As Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen said, when a person is dying, what happens? It is mentioned, as Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen stated it, Shaytan comes to a person. When you're dying, in your final moments, Shaytan comes to an individual in the appearance of your father, parents or father. In your final moments, where you barely have the full capacity of your mind now, you're in the final moments to death, soul exiting. You don't have the full control upon yourself and your mind and your conscience. In that final moment, the shaitan comes to you in the appearance of your father and says to you, my son, you know this religion of Islam you're upon is wrong. You know the religion of Islam you're upon is wrong. Judaism or Christianity, they are the correct ones. So follow them now before you die, before it's too late. Comes to you in the appearance of your father, you're on your deathbed now, in those moments, and it's as if you're seeing your father talking to you, telling you, Islam is wrong, my son, you know. Accept the Judaism or Christianity before dying. And so maybe a person in those moments of not having control sees his father talking to him and advising him in this way, and maybe he accepts and dies upon that kufr. And the opposite is true. They mention a story, one of the scholars mentioned, about an American student, a revert brother. He was giving da'wah to his grandmother. Giving da'wah to his grandmother, da'wah for years and years. And he says that she finally accepted one day, and then she died 3 days after she accepted. 3 days after she accepted Islam, she finally died. All of those years she lived upon kufr. All of those years upon disbelief. 3 days before death, she accepted and died upon Islam. This is the guidance that Allah gives. The hadith about the Jewish boy, that young Jewish boy who used to help the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. the young Jewish boy, he used to help the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And he was Jewish, he was not Muslim. He used to help the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, used to aid the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The young Jewish boy became ill. He became ill whilst he was still a boy, and he was on his deathbed. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam went to visit him on his deathbed, the Jewish boy. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam visited him and gave him da'wah on his deathbed, told him to accept Islam and to die upon Islam. So when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was saying to this young Jewish boy, die as a Muslim, obviously the boy was slightly afraid, because his father, who was Jewish, was stood right there. So he was afraid, he didn't know what to do. His father was Jewish, he was Jewish, they were Jewish. The Prophet ﷺ coming to him now in his deathbed, saying to him, accept Islam before you die. So in the narration it says, the boy, the first thing he did was, when the Prophet said to him, accept Islam, he turned and looked at his father. What would be the reaction of his father? His father's reaction was, he said, Ati' Aba al-Qasim, obey the Prophet, obey him. So the boy obeyed and he accepted Islam. In the narration it says that the Prophet ﷺ said, all praise be due to Allah who saved this boy. At his final moment, just before death, final moment, he accepted Islam and he dies as a Muslim. So the hearts of the people are changed. But the changing of those hearts, it comes from the tawfiq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why they say, Ibrahim alayhi salam, Khalilullah, the second best prophet and messenger, with all of that status, second highest messenger, he was making dua to Allah, asking Allah, Rabbi janubni wa baniya an na'bud al asnam. Allah, protect me and my offspring from ever falling into the worship of the idols. Protect me and my offspring from ever falling into the worship of the idols. Meaning, protect us from our hearts ever changing to that. Knowing that the prophets and messengers can never fall into shirk or major sins anyway. But this indicates the fear that a person always fears for himself. You never feel safe and secure. I'm a person of tawheed, I'm salafi, I've got nothing to worry about. That isn't the thought of a person. A person who thinks in that way has not understood the reality of this, that Allah is the one who changes the hearts of the people. You are the one who's been given the ability like we spoke of, but you don't know where you will go, what you will do, what your ending will be. That's why, as we're going to come and see here now, the dua used to be made, Ya muqallib al-qulubi thabbit qalbi ala deenik. Oh Allah, who changes the hearts of the people, keep my heart firm upon your religion, lest you end up as one of those who, after being upon Islam, apostates and dies upon something other than Islam. There used to be a brother here, some of the elders will know him. I don't know what his state is now, maybe some of the brothers will know. There used to be an individual, I saw him with my own eyes in Al-Masjid Al-Haram in Mecca, sitting there worshipping. And later on it became known that he apostated. Later on, after having, you see a man in Al-Masjid Al-Haram sitting, worshipping, and you hear later on that he has apostated. And then after that, Allahu A'lam if he's Muslim now or not. He's Muslim now, he returned, Alhamdulillah. Then he returned back to Islam afterwards. But you see how the hearts of the people change. How the heart of a person can change. He is sitting in Al-Masjid Al-Haram and then apostasy comes to you. But then Alhamdulillah, the heart changed again. Allah changes the hearts and gives guidance and he returned to Islam. So a person never feels safety and security for himself. Read the chapter in Kitab al-Tawheed regarding that particular issue. So this chapter is regarding the changing of the hearts of the people. And the hadith, which we'll quickly mention then, حديث قال حدثني سعيد بن سليمان الواسطي نزيل بغداد ثقة حافظ عن ابن المبارك فيمس عبد الله ابن المبارك المروزي ثقة ثبت عن موسى ابن عقبة موسى ابن عقبة ابن أبي عياش ثقة فقيه عن سالم هو سالم سالم the son of عبد الله ابن عمر ابن الخطاب القرشي المدني and he is of course ثبت and they say Salim was very much like his father Abdullah ibn Umar very similar he used to resemble his father Abdullah ibn Umar the way he was and then of course you have Abdullah ibn Umar the companion قال أكثر ما كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يحلف ولا لا مقلب القلوب he said how often so often the prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم he used to mention this or the oath upon this لا ومقلب القلوب by the one who changes the hearts of the people by the one who changes the hearts of the people So this indicates to you how that meaning was understood. How often he says, how often the Prophet ﷺ used to say, by the one who changes the hearts of the people. So it is upon an individual to constantly make dua that Allah keeps your heart firm upon guidance. And one of the means of retaining that guidance and being upon that guidance is knowledge and action. The more you learn, the more you study, the more you practice, and the more a person becomes stronger in his iman to remain upon that straight path. But it is a dua that you make constantly. And it is not something that a person becomes slack in thinking that they are safe. We've been guided, we've understood, I know Tawheed. Yet a person may go astray and you do not know. We leave it on that chapter for today then. We'll move on to the next chapter. Babun inna allaha. إِنَّ لِلَّهِ مِئَةَ اسْمٍ إِلَّا وَاحِدًا That indeed Allah has 100 names minus one. Which is? 99 names. Does Allah have 99 names? No. We just said the chapter says Allah has 100 names minus one. So that's what we're going to discuss next week. Regarding how many names Allah has. You're right. It's not just 99. You're right. So we'll talk about that because that is a common misconception amongst the people. When you ask them how many names does Allah have, they say 99. The 99 names of Allah, all the posters you got in your homes. 99 names of Allah. So inshaAllah ta'ala, next week we'll begin with that topic regarding the names of Allah, the hadith about the 99 names of Allah. And the question, one question here, it says, is Iblis alive? Is Iblis alive? Is Iblis alive? Iblis is alive. Shaitan is alive. It wasn't your question. Don't worry, it's okay. Shaitan is alive. So that's, Iblis is there all the way up until the day of judgment. That respite, the opportunity to leave him up until the day of judgment. He was left up until the day of judgment. I'll mention to you afterwards. All right, we'll conclude there for this week. Then next week, what time is Isha next week? 8:15 still? Isha next week. Somebody check. Isha next week. Half past 8. So next week still after Isha then. Next week Isha is 8:30. We'll do the lesson after Isha next week. Once it starts getting a bit beyond that, we'll bring the lesson before Isha. But next week after Isha still, inshallah, 8:30.
Which one is called? I want to know.